You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning on this Tuesday, August 5th. We're going to continue our conversation about all of the news coming out of the 17th International AIDS Conference happening in Mexico City. Some really staggering revelations coming from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention over the weekend. During the conference, they reported that federal officials have been underestimating the number of new HIV infections in the United States by 40% every year for more than a decade. And joining us now for more in trying to understand this is John Peller, the Director of Government Relations at the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. And good morning, John. Many thanks for being with us today.
Good morning.
Now, it's really stunning to hear 40%. That's thousands and thousands more HIV infections actually happening than the CDC had been reporting for many time. And they attribute it to better blood tests and better statistical models. Can you shed some light for us on that?
Certainly. The CDC's new numbers or new estimates say that there are about 56,000 new HIV infections occurring in the United States annually. That's up from 40,000, which had been the estimate for really decades. And what CDC has done is put into place a system that tests for new HIV infections in individuals. So they're now able to determine if an infection is new or old, and then taking the proportion of those new infections and using that to estimate where new HIV infections are taking place. What CDC is indicating is that the majority of new HIV infections are among African Americans, 45%, and that 53%, more than half, of new HIV infections are among gay men and men who have sex with men. These are clearly the two populations that are most impacted by the HIV epidemic today.
So the news was not suggesting that the epidemic is getting worse. It did a better job, whatever the way that you've just described is a better way of taking a look at what's actually happening on the ground. I guess I'm just a little confused about the distinction there.
I think it's a very subtle one. The CDC has said since 2003 that there's between 1.1 and 1.2 million people living with HIV in the United States. Obviously, in light of these new numbers, those estimates will have to be re-examined, and we'll have to look again at the numbers of people living with HIV.
You said it was a revelation just hearing about hearing that report. Why?
These new numbers put really in stark statistics the number of new cases and where they're occurring, and they'll really allow us to better target HIV prevention interventions and to the populations that need them most. The problem, however, and the challenge we're facing in Chicago and nationwide is that federal funding for HIV prevention, when adjusted for inflation, has been cut by almost 20%. We just don't have the resources that we need to roll out HIV prevention interventions to the populations that need them. And in fact, a CDC official said this week that 80% of men who have sex with men were not reached by HIV prevention interventions
80%.
In the past year.
Wow. John, you know, you raise an irony, it seems to me anyway, looking at the statistics of what's being reported down at the conference in Mexico City, and that is globally there seems to be a net decline in the rate of infection, but these numbers here in the United States are pretty disturbing and negative. And while the U.S. is increasing funding for global AIDS eradication, you point out that domestically it's declining.
It's incredibly ironic. The president just signed the new global AIDS bill, PEPFAR, allocating $48 billion to the fight against HIV and AIDS globally. The international infection numbers are down. I think some of the good news that came out of this CDC data is that new HIV infections are decreasing among injection drug users and among heterosexuals. It shows that HIV prevention programs can work and do in fact work even when the Bush administration's ideology gets in the way. The federal government has banned funding for needle exchanges for almost two decades, and that ban continues today.
So then clearly good news then if you found the infection rates down despite that ban. Let me ask you about the macro, the big picture here. Clearly in the 80s and 90s, there was this great sense of urgency to work towards fighting HIV, fighting the virus, finding a cure. Does that still exist, do you think, in the same way?
It's a different epidemic today, and certainly the fantastic advent of medications that keep people living with HIV alive means that we have a different epidemic and a different perception of the epidemic today. HIV has also shifted into populations that are less visible. The African American community and particularly gay men of color, gay black men.
So does this new chapter and these new populations, does it cry out for some kind of national policy, since there's never been that essentially communities have been dealing with this state by state, community by community?
Absolutely. We need a national AIDS strategy, and we're joining in the call for a national AIDS strategy. The U.S. government, when it funds other countries for HIV prevention work, requires them to have a national AIDS plan in place, but we don't have such a plan here in the United States. And we think that such a plan would be a great step towards making sure prevention resources are adequate and are adequately targeted to the right populations.
John Peller, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
John Peller, Director of Government Relations for the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. And now we get the latest headlines from Femi Oke. Femi?
Thanks very much, Adora.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.